I'd like to greet you this morning in the precious name of Christ. By the blood he shed on the cross, we have this forgiveness of sin, and by his resurrection from the dead, we have this blessed hope of life eternal. So it'd be my desire that you find something in this message that would be just for you, that you could take and you could use to help in the days to come, in the midst of your joys, in the midst of your challenges, whatever the case may be, that God's given us his word, he's given us his promises to sustain us through everything. The title of this message is Spared for a Purpose, and the text comes from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. In the familiar account of the birth of Moses in the opening chapter of Exodus, we come across a command given by Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that all the male Hebrew children, the babies that were born, were to be immediately killed. And later he would say, throw them into the Nile River. He wanted to eliminate all the male children. There was fear in the Egyptians' minds because the nation of Israel that had come down there, the people of Israel, started very small, but over time they grew and prospered. And there was a fear in Egypt that they were become too numerous, that if they got a half the idea in their mind to take over Egypt, that they would succeed because they were so prosperous and so numerous. So Pharaoh wanted to eliminate that threat, so he had all the male children, or attempted to have all the male children, killed. He spared the female children because he figured they could intermarry with the Egyptians and they could use the women for some kind of work. But the males, healthy male babies, grow up to be strong male soldiers, so eliminate the young boys. They were exterminated at birth, snuffed out. But in the midst of this male or attempted male genocide, many children are saved because, thanks to the efforts of the Hebrew midwives, whose job it was to deliver the babies, and many of the male children were saved because the midwives, against Pharaoh's orders, made an excuse saying, the Hebrew women are much stronger, they give birth before we can even get to them. But God put it in their heart to spare the children, because they knew it was wrong. They knew it was wicked. And of the many male children that are saved, there is one particular child that is singled out in Scripture, and we all know his name to be Moses. And God spared his life for a special purpose. So we'll just pick up the account in chapter 2 of Exodus and read the first 10 verses to give us a launch pad here. It says, "Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" So that's the account of Moses' birth and his subsequent being spared, rescued, and saved from annihilation, essentially being killed by the edict of Pharaoh. Now, we can easily be amazed at this story, and it is a good story to be amazed at, because it is a wonderful account of God's sovereign protection and care of this baby Moses. But I want to harness maybe that amazement, that wonder, in the events that we read about in Moses' life, and as best we can to apply them with the same wonder to your own life. It's easy to read in Scripture of amazing accounts, but we want to harness that wonder and think of our own lives now a little bit. We say with much conviction, Moses, spared for a purpose. Because if you've ever read the rest of the story in Exodus and subsequent books of the Bible. You know, Moses would go on to lead the nation of Israel in the dramatic institution of Passover and then the Exodus, go through the Red Sea, a parted Red Sea in defiance of the pursuing Egyptian army. It's a dramatic account. Now, you could make the case that Moses, during his lifetime, especially the last 40 years, saw, heard, and experienced the manifestation of God's power and presence more than any other human being before or since. We think, you know, he confronted Pharaoh. We think of the Exodus, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, the wilderness wanderings, the tabernacle, cloud by day, fire by night, and so much more. Moses experienced the presence of God in a way that is profound. And with that admission, there comes a subtle reflex, or not so subtle reflex, to box up this story and set it aside as some exclusive occurrence that doesn't happen anymore. But we must not do that, because it does happen all the time. Now, we are not Moses, but we have all been spared for a purpose. So God is in the sparing business. He spared you from something. He spared Moses from childhood execution, essentially, for a great purpose. But God is always in the process of sparing us. Now, we could go around this room one by one, I'm sure we could, and say, you know, Mark, spared by God for a purpose. Kenny, spared by God for a purpose. Debbie, spared by God for a purpose. About said scared by God. That's true, too. You know, all of us could say, spared by God for a purpose. David Allen, you know, you take the test or you fill out the resume, say, use separate pieces of paper if necessary. You've been spared for a purpose many times. Use extra paper if necessary. You get the idea. Each one of us has faced some calamity, some situation, some certain death that God has spared us from. Things we know of, I mean, we could list the things we know that God has spared us from, and countless things that we don't know, that God in his mercy spared us before it even had the chance to happen. And to put that into perspective, I'm sure we also, each of us here, can also think of individuals who were not spared, people we know who were not spared, who God in his sovereign will took from this earth. So to put that in perspective, you have been spared. You are here. All the while you know others that are not. So if you're living and breathing this morning, I can guarantee you that God has spared your life for something, some calling, some purpose, some reason. If you don't know what that is, that's okay. We read the account. Moses was spared as a small infant, newborn. Spared as a baby, grew up in Pharaoh's household, was out walking one day, saw one of the Egyptian taskmaster slave drivers mistreating a fellow Hebrew, and Moses murdered the man and hid him in the sand. Well, sand is a poor choice of grave dirt, and the murdered Egyptian was found. Moses was connected to the crime, and he fled to Midian, which is far east of Egypt, and he lived as a shepherd for 40 years. So all in all, Moses was roughly 80 years old when God finally brought this obscure, adoptive Egyptian fugitive into the unique purpose his life was spared for in the first place to provide. So if you don't know what your purpose is, or if you haven't figured it out, that's okay. It took Moses essentially 80 years to figure it out. But that's not to say that Moses' life, or your life for that matter, lacked real purpose until that fateful day he met God in the burning bush and received from God the commands to lead the Exodus. For surely God was patiently leading and training and preparing Moses that whole time he was in the desert. He spared him as an infant, was leading him up to the point when he would fulfill this grand purpose in his life. But God was there the whole time. Of course, it's the Exodus that sets Moses apart in history. It was the defining event that ushered in the dramatic last 40 years of his life. But my point is, it is not always evident right away exactly what God has spared you for. Again, Moses had to wait essentially 80 years to get that grand call. Yet God was preparing him the whole time. God may be preparing you for some dramatic work, or not. It is not the magnitude of the work that is important. It is the faithfulness of the one called to do it. We need to be ready for whatever God calls us to do, whether it's big or whether it's small. Moses had a big assignment. But that doesn't mean God can't use you in the small things. Keep in mind, if you forsake the small purposes God has given you by always chasing after something bigger or something flashier, you will end up accomplishing neither. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. That's a biblical principle. And the opposite is true. If you can't be trusted with little, you're not going to be given much, no matter how passionately you pursue it. So, again, contemplate your life. Think about your life. If you really believe that God has spared you for a purpose, the question is, are you living it out? And you say, I don't know. I don't know what my purpose is. If you're not sure, the next question you need to ask yourself is, are you actively seeking and serving God where you are currently at? Are you faithful in the little things, the everyday things? Now, you probably haven't murdered anyone and buried them in the sand, so you're ahead of Moses in positive life decisions so far. If you have, we might have to talk maybe after the service. Point is, God can forgive sin, but he won't force you to be faithful. There's nothing in your past that can hold you back from the purpose that God has for you. He can forgive whatever sin you've committed, but he will not force you to be faithful to the call that he's given. Further, in chapter 3 in Exodus, when God does call Moses from the burning bush, you know, after the conversation, Moses left Midian and returned to Egypt to lead Israel. We know the story. But we read about the doubts that Moses had. In that conversation, as God was calling Moses, Moses kept bringing up, you know, the reason why he should not be the one to do this. He had doubts. He lacked confidence. He made excuses, said he doesn't talk well, slow of speech. 40 years of desert isolation tends to do that to you. But God worked with Moses, and Moses said yes. He made a willful decision to follow God. Perhaps you find yourself in a place where God is working with you, getting your attention, asking for your service. And perhaps like Moses, you are making excuses. God wants you to be faithful, but he won't force you. He wants you to be faithful, but he won't force you. He spared you for a purpose, and you may know right now what that particular purpose is. He might be putting it on your heart. He won't force you. You have to make that decision. In the mysterious reality of God's election and our own decisions, we find in Moses' life the sovereign act of God in saving him. We read the account. Moses had no role or decision to make in that process. He was a mere baby, a newborn baby. God coordinated the actions of others, coordinated the events to spare Moses. God coordinated his being spared. Yet when it comes to the great purpose for which he was spared for, we see Moses having a choice to make. He had nothing to do with the act of being spared, but when it came to fulfilling his actual purpose that God had spared him for, we see Moses having to make a decision. The same is true for you. Whether you were spared at birth, perhaps a young child, teenager, or adult, or an older adult, you can take no credit for you being spared. It was entirely God's sovereign mercy at work. God spared you. Yet what you do with the life you were spared for, that ball is in your court. You were spared for a purpose, but you have to decide to say yes to God's call. And that's not to say it will be immediate. Moses had to wait, again, 80 years from the time he was spared as a newborn before his great wish. And again, yeah, some of you can't afford to wait 80 years. Some of us can't afford 80 years. Some of us can't afford 40 years. Some of us can't afford 10 years. The point is, if God is calling you, you have to be seriously considering what that means on your life. Perhaps you are waiting. Perhaps you are waiting. Don't miss the opportunities that are right in front of you. You're still trying to figure out maybe what am I here for? While you're contemplating that, don't miss the opportunities right in front of you. Moses started a family. When he fled the Midian, when he fled east, he started a family. He was actively employed as a shepherd. He grew older and wiser. No doubt God was teaching him many lessons in the desert before God finally met him in the burning bush. So my point in this is that even if God had never called Moses to lead the Exodus out of Egypt, his life would still have been producing fruit. There is great purpose in everyday living of life when we do it with our eyes and our ears focused on God. He may not be calling us to do great things, what we consider great. Everything's great in the kingdom of God. He might not be calling you to, you know, do famous things or however you phrase it. But everything, every purpose is great when we do it with our eyes and ears focused on God. Keep in mind also that you are not Moses. He fit and filled a particular spot in human history that will never be repeated. He was faithful to his call. It was a grand call, a mighty call. But you need to be faithful to yours, whatever that is. I always laugh. There's a coffee mug. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've not. A coffee mug that has a scene. The scene is of David and Goliath. And on the mug, you know, it has the scene pictured. On the mug, it has the big giant is labeled Goliath, and the young man with the sling is labeled not you. The humorous point being that we tend to turn every negative situation in our life into, you know, perceived giants, and then we think we were acting like David when we conquer them. When in reality, we have nothing in our life to realistically compare to the specific challenges that David faced that day. I mean, we've never seen a giant. But I think, going back to my illustration, that same mug could be made with some of the events of Moses' life. Maybe a picture of the Red Sea crossing, you know, the label pointing out the Red Sea, and the other label to the bearded old man with the staff saying, not you. The point is, God called Moses to a specific mission. And he's calling you to your own specific mission. Quit trying to be Moses or a David or whoever else, because you have no idea the magnitude of what they were facing in their day. Simply be you. You didn't part the Red Sea or slay the giant Goliath. You will have your own challenges and your own objectives to accomplish. Don't compare yourself. Simply be yourself. And neither Moses or David or anybody else, for that matter, can really know the difficulty that you face in your own mission, the challenges that you have to overcome in serving God. So we read these accounts, of course, to be strengthened in our faith and to see what God has done in the past. But God's doing something now in your own life. Don't compare yourself, simply be yourself. Bottom line, there would be no Moses if God would have not supernaturally spared him from death. A lot of male Hebrew children of that day perished. Moses was spared. There would be no you if God would have not have done the same. At some point in your life, you could have gone the way of all the earth. You could have been killed. You know your past history. You know how close you came so many times. God spared you. You have been spared for a purpose. It may be a big purpose. It may be a small purpose. But if it is God's purpose, it is always important. So seek to live every day faithful to the call that God has placed on your life, whether it's big or whether it's small. Be committed to the purpose that God has spared you for. And if you do this, I think you will never have to worry about missing God's will for your life, for you will be smack dab in the middle of it. The Apostle Paul closes his letter to the Colossians with a few final greetings. He likes to sort of greet everybody at the end of his message because he knew a lot of people. One of which was directed to a man named Archippus. That's how you pronounce it. I looked it up. Archippus was believed to be the son of Philemon and a leader in the church that met at their house. So he was a church leader, probably a younger man. But what Paul tells Archippus is, what he tells this young man, he's telling us all. And you might say, this is a small little section of scripture that often gets overlooked. The closing remarks usually aren't the focus of sermons. But I found this very interesting because Paul told this young man, and what he told him, he's telling us. In Colossians 4:17, he says, "See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord." Or as the King James renders it, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." No doubt, young Archippus was spared in his own life to lead this small church that met in his house. And Paul was admonishing him to see to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. So as you contemplate your life, wherever you're at, whether young or old or in between, know that you've been spared. If you're here, you've been spared. Maybe countless times. You might, like David Allen, need a couple sheets of paper to list all the times. Not saying you were reckless or anything, David. But if we're here, we've been spared. God has mercifully looked upon you and said, "I have a purpose for you. Your time is not up yet." If we can all claim that, and we can, then we can also claim these words to see to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. Whether it's big or whether it's small, if it's of God, for God, it is important. So no matter how you say it, how you phrase it, you were spared for a purpose. So the challenge this morning is to fulfill that work which God has spared you for. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. When we think of our lives, we think of all the times that things could have ended differently, but you and your merciful grace, you have spared us. But you spared us for a purpose. You have work for us to do, each one of us, whether it be big things or little things. If it's of you, for you, it's important things. So, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts to show us what you want us to do, where you are leading us, what direction you would have us to go, so that we can fulfill the work you've given us, that we can make the most of this time that you've granted us, and then we all will have to appear before you, that we can appear with confidence, knowing that we've done that which you have set us out for. So give us the strength for every day, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.